What a friend we have in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
My sins
increase today.
Glory be to God.
What a privilege.
What a privilege to carry
notwithstanding, the Lord is still with his people. Hallelujah.
Discouraged,
brethren, no matter what the enemy throws at you, stand firm in the Lord. Of the Lord in
Jesus,
glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Jesus knows
every weakness, every one of them, he knows. He felt them, he's sure of them. I say, take it. I want you to shout hallelujah this morning, everybody. Start to speak unto the Lord about those troubles, about those trials, about those afflictions. Start to tell him that it's God and God Almighty indeed. That notwithstanding the afflictions, the temptations, the troubles of this hour, at this moment, that the Lord God remains the same. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Eternal God, we give you glory this morning. We bless you, Father, for who you are to us. A friend like none other. A friend in time of need. A time and all hours of the day and night you are standing by us. When the enemy seems to swallow us, when the enemy will pull us down, you rise up and shake your fist on our behalf and declare that you are our God and you remain our God forever in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we want to thank you, Father, for this hour of the ministration. Bless your holy name, Lord. Let it comfort to comfort your people. Let it bring hope. Let it bring revival. Let it bring restoration to your people at this hour in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for all you have done for us. At times, the enemy wants to paint the picture of gloom and doom. But the Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. Look at what he has done to us within this 1 week. Two additional wonderful new babies into our midst. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord will do more. And those who are desiring, and those who are believing God, wait the Lord will make a way for it also for you in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Receive all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, praise team. God bless you. Put your hands together for the best praise team in the whole world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. God bless you for supporting us at this hour. Amen. The Lord is good. Somebody say, are you sure? Yeah, he's good all the time. Amen. Because there's a time things goes up and down, and the enemy starts to say, are you sure? The Lord is good at all times. Amen. If we see the total picture, if we're able to see through the window of time and see what God has planned and what God is doing, then we can understand the Lord is good. But with our limited vision, our understanding at times, there seems to be a pit hole or somewhere there and say, maybe, maybe not. Always believe that the Lord is good. Amen? Because it is true. Hallelujah. Today the message, you are the apple of God's eye. Amen. You are what? Repeat it again, everybody. You are the apple of God's eye. It's kind of a message of encouragement. Message to give us more hope. At times when we go to the bottom of our, maybe our box or whatever, and pull off nice clothes and throw it on, and you clean up your car and brush your teeth and comb your head, I say, oh, everything is peachy, wonderful with this sister. The Lord is, they don't know what you are going through. Amen. They don't know what you are going through on a daily basis. I've been to some people, the outward appearance, everything just seems so wonderful until they open their mouth and start telling you the fight, the battle, the trials. You know, it was Paul that said at times we are buffeted from all sides. And when they start speaking, my God, I have this friend, a medical doctor, very good. Great guy, family, we're doing great. I didn't know they have some major situation going on. One day I was telling him about something I'm going through. Then he told me his own. I shut up. I say, you mean all this time I know you are going through this? He say, yeah. I never can tell him anything because there's no comparison. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. We're going to go into the significance of that message this morning. What is, what do we mean by the apple of God's eye? Many people, they hear it, they've read about it, but many of us doesn't know that it is actually from the Bible. Amen. Let us go to Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. And we will discuss about the importance of that, what it means by the apple of God's eye and what it stands to benefit. Is somebody on that? Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 8. I can read it from here. And it says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory had he sent me unto the nation, which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of God's eye. Amen. Let us sink in for a second. The enemy that messes with you, whether they are spiritual or physical enemy, let them beware. Let them know that they are touching what? The apple of God's eye. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the world today, people use that word as endearment to know, I have a baby, a beautiful young baby. And, oh, it's the apple of my eyes. You have your wife, you just married, or you've been married for 100 years, and you know you love one another. I say, the apple of my eyes, or my husband, the apple of my eyes. Or something great happened to you, it means a lot to you. And people say, use that word, is the apple of my eye. That is something that is precious. Something that is important, vital. Something that has to be cherished, protected, loved. Something that you practically cannot do without, if you can help it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The apple of God's eye. That is who I am. That is who you are. That is what all of us are unto the Lord, if you believe in Jesus Christ. At the end of this message, if you haven't heard, if you haven't believed, if you haven't agreed that the Lord God is your Lord Savior, please hurry up and so you can join unto the ranks of those who can say that I am the apple of God's eye. You know, it's hard to say that eyes have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has even the mind of man perceived what God has in store for those that love him. I tell you, when we talk of eyes in the natural, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen? You start to say, maybe, does this promise apply to me? I'll tell you how it applies to you. You say that the promise of God, every one of them, whether it is this one or thousands of other ones within the scripture, is for you and for your children and for as many as the Lord God will call. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even those that are far off are included in God's promise. So if you want to remove yourself from this promise this morning, that you are the apple of God's eye, feel free to do so. I myself believe, I myself will hold on to it, that I am the apple of God's eye. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you say, well, if you are the apple of God, how does it reflect? We are going to come to that. How it reflects on you as believers, because you are the apple of God's eye. The natural eyes you are seeing here, it is so complex that medicine, that department, they assign a particular area, of medicine to just. They say that this eye, the one that I have now, it can see 10 million colors. I used to think that maybe color is just black, white, green, yellow, and so on. It says 10 million that this eye can see. It can process simultaneously up to 1.5 million transactions in practically a second. This eye you have. He said that these eyes we have is such that there is a complex nature to it, the nerves, the fibers, the feedback system, the wash, the irrigation system, everything in it, is so complex that man has built and continued to build or try to build things to match it in cameras, in videos, in all the things that hangs in the air, they cannot match by any means what is the complexity of the eyes that God have designed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The eye mechanism is such that even the doctors that are practicing it are seeing new things about it, how it controls, how it can become so defensive, how it can retract, how it can expand, how it can the view and the vision and all things that pertains to it. To just give you an example of how important the eyes are, there's a man called blind Bartimaeus in the Bible. And he had opportunity to ask Jesus Christ anything he wants done, because he was blind. I've never seen, and my heart reaches out to any person who cannot use their eyes, who cannot see. It is a heavy burden. So this man was begging all his life by the side of the road. One day he had a noise coming through. And he says, what is happening? He said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is passing through. And he raised his voice, say, calling on him to have mercy on him. Finally, Jesus, people tried to tell him, shut up, don't say nothing, but he continued crying. And then Jesus came to him and stood before him and said, what do you want me to do for you? What will you have me do? He could have said, well, I'm poor. A lot of money. A lot of it. He could have said, may I have other sicknesses or other problems? Seeing that he has been on this condition all his life, he has a pile of problems. To show you the importance, he said that the one thing, the only thing, the most sad desire of mine at this moment is that I may receive my sight. So now, take God, that God may be suppressing, like standing like me, and he has an eye. And the eye of the Lord does a lot of things. He said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the face of the whole earth. There are scores of scripture about God and eye. What he uses this eye to do, his eye, as it means that God is in the physical, you know, he's spiritual. But then God said, this my eyes, that is so vital, that is so important, that I used to do everything and all things that I want to do. He said, you, Emmanuel, you, John, you, sister this or that, or brother that and this, you are the apple of my own very eye. And he said that anybody who wants to touch it, whether they be devil or man, he said that whoever will touch you is touching the apple of my own very eye. If you take a stone and throw on somebody, you don't see them covering their stomach or their neck. Where do they cover? Their eye. If something happened, the mechanism of the eye immediately goes into action to shut up, close it, blink. Just for protective system. I'm saying this to bring out the importance of who you are to God. So when the enemy will come in those low times, in the times of afflictions or trial, and telling you and start lying to you that you are of no value to God, tell him he's a liar and he's a known liar. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am the apple of God's eye. I am the apple of God's eye. I am the apple of God's eye. And that not only that, when I am the apple of God's eye, there is other incentives that comes with it. What does the eye do? What does anybody do when you want to touch that apple of the eye? So God will do the same. And in this morning we touch a few of them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What does it imply to be the apple of God's eye? He said you will be protected, you will be defended, you will be treasured at all costs. You, a human being, what would you do if somebody wanted to take off your eyes? One of the things that God does is to protect you because you are the apple of your eyes, of his eyes. That protection means that many a times the enemy is targeting what is precious to God in your life. It's targeting your faith. It's targeting your love, your mercy, your ability to relate with God in such a way that if you are not careful, you allow him to get in. But God fights your battle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 15 to 17. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 15 to 17. Amen? Now, this is one area of the four or five or three, how many I have time to get to this morning, that God used to show us that we are the apple of his eye. Isaiah chapter 54, Isaiah 54, verse 15 to 17. He started to tell Agar people who will come together against you. He started to talk, I want you, whatever I'm bringing out this morning, to reflect on the point that you are the apple of God's eye. For you to see the dimension that the Lord will go, the extent God will go to protect, to love, to make sure that you stand and to overcome. He said, behold, they shall surely gather. But what? But not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Go to 16. 16, please. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth the instrument for his works. And I have created the waster to destroy. Go to 17. It says on 17, no weapon that is formed against you, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because you are the apple of God's very eye. Because you are in the center of God's existence. Because your eye in the natural is so vital that you do whatever you can to protect it. Take your place and put in place of that eye. He said that no weapon that is formed against you shall do what? Prosper. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I always tell people, in terms of God's promise, there are two ways to eat. At times, there are spontaneous God's mercy that overrides. But in most cases, it shall be unto you according to your faith. So you have to learn to believe God. Put back the scripture, sir, please. Don't take it out. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall what? Be condemned. Why? Because you are the apple of God's eye. I have always advocated for mercy, for grace, because that is God's way. Say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You have to learn that those people who are touching you, those people who are carrying warfare in the spiritual, in the physical, with their mouth, with their actions, at your place of work, in your home, in the church, wherever they are attacking you, that many of them are ignorant of this fact. If they know, if they only know by any means who you are, who is standing behind you, who you represent, who God is in your life, that you are the apple of God's eye, my God, they will be very fearful, because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But these people in their ignorance are people, any name or whatever they call themselves, they don't know who is fighting your battle. He said, they shall surely gather, but not by me. What does he tell you? They will come to you. They will arrange it. They will murmur it. They will bring it to pass. They will look in any way to pull you down. I'm not one of those that goes to preach about vengeance or this and that. But this is a fact of thing that happens in life. That because the light of God is in your life, because the grace of God is in your life, you are immediately a target of the enemy. And those enemies will use minions, people, or whatever agents to try to destroy, to fulfill their objective. But they don't know who is behind you. That God has said, behold, you are the apple of my own very eye. Therefore, no weapon that is formed against you shall do what? Prosper. And every tongue, be they spiritual tongue, or physical one, or natural one, whatever they are, that will rise against you, shall be condemned for your sake in Jesus' mighty name. Why? Because this is the heritage. This is your portion. This is allocated to you. This is your own that God has put aside. Your heritage of the Most High God, the living God. And it is not because of necessarily your righteousness, because your righteousness is of me, say the Lord. It's just because Jesus Christ died for you, you gave your life to Christ, you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You've called him into your life, and you do your very best to live that life of one that is called by grace. And then the enemy will come in diverse ways to try to throw you off balance, tell you it is not so, and then they use whatever minions or whatever areas, their agents, to try to discourage you, to push you out of that place. I say, beware, every one of you who does that. This man, this woman, this child, this person is the apple of God's very blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You will be loved and you'll be cherished because you are the apple of God's eye. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. In that one, it says, but you are a chosen generation, blessed be the name of the Lord, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is you, me and you, as small as we are, as nobody as we are, of no consequence to these mortal realms. But here is what God is testifying about you. And you say, what are my reachable condition? What are my situation now? What are my condition? How can I be all this to God? The glory of God has not yet been fully revealed in us, brethren. But when the history, when everything is done and concluded, when the what we are is manifest, this world and all that it holds, there is nothing in this world that can match what you have. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I told you one day, one of my ministry, I was disturbed seeing how people are wasting resources in the billions and stuff, and they don't even glorify God giving them wisdom to them. And I was, my God, what is all this? Look at how these people don't glorify God, yet they are blessed with so many. I mention it to the church. So I say, and one of those times that God speaks to me, he say, but they have lost it all. I say, what do you mean? He said, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own very soul? And this is scripture I've meditated on, I thought of so many times. And I start to think about it. There is nothing the whole world put together that can be given in exchange for you. God hold you in high esteem, in such a level of high esteem, just because of who you are in Christ Jesus, that the whole world put together, everything this world have, cannot match it, because there is nothing in this world can purchase the price of eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It took the blood of God. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to purchase that. So he's saying here, one of the promises, one of the outcomes or consequence of being the apple of God's eye in a blessed way is you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. And one of the popular ones that I like, a peculiar people. Something unique. Something extraordinary. Something that cannot be understood. Peculiar. That you should show forth the praise of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So now you are the apple of God's eye. In you, God sees something that is unique and peculiar. And because of this, God has chosen you. And the enemy is trying to tell you that God's love is no more there for you. Those whose names are written before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was meant to die for you even before you know it. What greater love has man than this, that a man chooses to lay his own very life? Not even for a friend in this case. People that despise him, people that doesn't agree with him, people that doesn't love him. But he did it because you are a chosen generation. He didn't choose you today or yesterday. He chose you even before the foundation of the world. As we discuss, you need to know I need to believe it, that you are the apple of God's eye. A small child that your mother gave birth to, and she loved this child. I've seen in some cases the stories that he's saying about the ability of the mother to defend beyond her ability, flip out a heavy load that will have crept or crushed the child, doesn't know where the strength came from or where the, that is mother's love or father's love. Let's not leave the father's. But God's love, he said that you cannot even compare. That a mother can forsake even her suckling child, a child that she breastfed him. But I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Another advantage of God calling us the apple of his eyes, that as your eyes is on the Lord, God's eyes is also on you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is one of the greatest comfort I have. That the Lord knows this situation. That the Lord knows where you are at this point in time. That the Lord knows what you are going through, which your closest friend or closest body may not really know what you are going through at this point in time. But there is one that knows his eyes is always. He said that my eyes is even on the sparrows of the field, who could be sold for 6 of them for maybe half a dollar. He said, but not one single of them can fall to the ground without the Father's knowledge. His eyes is on the sparrow, and his eyes is also upon you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when you are the apple of God's eye, God will defend your cause against the enemy. When they gather together, when they come and gossip, put things together to pull it out, he said, the Lord will make a mincement out of them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. And because you are the apple of God's eye, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, called forth to show the glory of God. If you can go through the eyes of God, then you can go through the eyes of this person or this person that God is watching and looking at. Brethren, we have to stay under that spell. Part of the danger is that at times we walk away. The only person that can remove himself in some cases from that blessing, from that protection, from that love, from that shaking of glory is you when you decide to walk away. Let the enemy not tell you otherwise. Let your heart be fixed on this. Let your mind be set that I am the apple of God's eye. That is what his word says in Hosea chapter 2 verse 8. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Another thing you will notice, let's go to Psalm 17, chapter 6 and 8. The book of Psalms, chapter 17, verse 6 and 8. The book of Psalms. And it says, the book of Psalms 17, verse 6. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. You are the apple of God's eye. And when you call, our Father will respond. Blessed be the name of the Lord. O God, incline thy ear unto me and hear my speech. Show me thy marvelous loving kindness. O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Then he says in verse 8, go to verse 8, please. Verse 8. Keep me. Everybody read with me. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is David, a man whom God has lifted on high, but he went through a lot in his life. He understood what we are talking about this morning. Not that God will remove any of us from being the apple of his eyes. As long as we choose and stay there, we will remain the same. We will be the apple of God's eye. But here is David at a time of fair trials. When it seems the heavens are falling around him, when everything seems to be giving way, he has this prayer to make unto God. Keep me as what? As the apple of thy eye. Because he knew that as the apple of God's eye, the mercies of God will never depart from him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He knew that as apple of God's eye, God's loving kindness will never depart from him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He knew that as the apple of God's eye, he will always remain under the shadow of his wings. Let's go to Psalm 91. Let's explain that shadow. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 91, please. Let's look at that places. When you are the apple of God's eye, you are entitled to these blessings. We're going to read some of them and discuss a few of them. And it says in Psalm 91, please. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall do what? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A shadow, we are inside this building. And there's a roof to it. Under this building, we are sheltered from the weather, from the external elements and stuff. The sun, the wind, noise, or whatever it is. When you are under the shadow of the Most High God, as the apple of God's eye, you will start to see, as we read down, what you are entitled to, what God will do for you, what avenues, what resources are available for as many as will remain under the shadow of the Almighty. David was praying this prayer, and I want us, each one of us, to always remember God, say, keep me under thy shadow as the apple of thy eyes, that I may remain under the shadow of the Most High God. Verse 2. To show for thy loving kindness, say, in verse 2, he said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. As the Lord keeps you, as you remain under the shadow, as the apple of God's eye, I'm thereby under the shadow of the Almighty. Here is the things he said he will do. Surely he shall deliver thee, in verse 3, 91 verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Under the shadow of the Most High God, as the apple of God's eye, as you remain, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. These are spiritual and physical things we talked about in this Psalm 91. That is why David said, Lord, please, no matter what, let me remain as the apple of thy eye, that you shall keep me under thy shadow always. Brethren, you don't know how much things that will devour us in a second, but for the mercies of God. The enemy, we say this several times, goes about raging like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. But for the mercies of God, the traps, the snares, the unseen pitfalls, holes that the enemy has laid, for the Lord God has thrown a shadow over us, a shadow of protection. In the days of the old, when somebody runs into an asylum to any nation, you become under the protection of that nation. They can go to war for anything that wants to touch you. This is human being. How much more the Most High God? When you take certain name, you become under the protection of that name in the medieval times. When a family adopts you, you become under the protection of that very name. And if they are a powerful clan or powerful village or town or whatever, you are now under the protection, not just under one person, but the whole clan. The Lord said, O Lord, here he says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence in verse 6 that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, because you are the apple of God's eye. These promises are yours. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He started to say in verse 7 that it is possible that 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 even at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Because the eye of the Lord is centered on you. That this is my portion, my inheritance, a chosen generation, a peculiar person. Brethren, if we see the battle God fights for us without knowing it, if God opens your eyes to see the salvation of God, I can stand here and start giving testimony of what will have ended my life in that is so certain. But he swooped in like a mighty eagle at the last moment to deliver me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Will I talk about the accident that was planned? I saw the vision, I had a revelation. I was saved by about 6 inches. The person next to me was cut in half. Will I talk about the time that a maniac stood over me with a machete and my sister and wanted to kill us, even those days, and went home and slaughtered other people? He didn't touch us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I can start to name each and I say, it is because by his grace and his mercy, I am in the apple of God's eye. And his purpose, his plans, his intention for your life, for my life, will not be seized by anything. It will not be deterred by anything. Nothing can remove it. Nothing can stop it. You will fulfill the purpose of God in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And not only your children, for this promise is not just for you alone, but for you, and for your children, and for them that are far off, and to as many as the Lord God will call. The battle that he fights for you because you are the apple of God's eye. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He says in verse 8 of 91, verse 8, because you are the apple of God's eye, only with your own very eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. They shall surely gather. But what? But not by me. Any that has gathered against you shall fall for thy sake. Why? Because you are a heritage of the living God. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. The fuse is lit. Then there's rain that fall upon it and cut off the line. It's dead. Because you are a heritage of the Most High God. A Korah people, a chosen generation. He says, there shall no evil before thee. Okay, verse 9, please. 91 verse 9, quickly. Because thou hast made the Lord God, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you. Amen. Do you know that you have an angel? Maybe ask God to show you that angel so that your faith can become a little more steadfast. You see, many a times we don't know this. At the last minute, he's swooping and delivered us in certain things, and God makes a way and changes situation and elevates us or whatever he does and so, and we don't know it because there's an angel which are servants to haze of salvation. And these angels, God has given them charge here, say, for he has given his angels charge over you. And the power of one angel, I always want to describe as when one angel, one single angel, went through the camp of the Assyrians and killed how many people in one night? 185,000. One single angel, for they are mighty in power. They excel in power. That is who is guiding over you. That is who is watching over you. That is who God have assigned a duty to make sure that you make it to eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is who God have assigned to make sure that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's whom God has said that the Lord will have them in derision. He will laugh at them when they gather in their coves or wherever they are, muttering your name, trying to say, he said the Lord will look at them and laugh. Because he who is with you, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, that is with you, is mightier than all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, they shall bear thee upon their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt even tread upon the lion, those roaring lions, by the grace of God, you walk all over them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And even the adder, and the young lion, and even the dragon, a symbol of satanic forces and powers, shall you trample under your feet. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall you trample under your feet. Amen. Jesus Christ has conquered for us. Jesus Christ has given us victory. We are triumphant because of his grace and mercy upon our life. Our position that we have in Christ Jesus today is absolutely of God's mercy and grace. Therefore, it is not just by your righteousness, says the Lord, or whatever they call it. You have to remain in Christ. You have to serve God. You have to fear him. You have to walk in the righteousness in God's grace. But at the end of the day, I always say it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Because I set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. That is 14. I will set him on high because he had known my name. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because you are the apple of God's eye. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him.
and show every one of you God's salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brethren, this morning, I could have gone into one more in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2, about keeping the God's commandment. Let's quickly read that so we can round up. We're getting to the end of the time. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2, in line with, you know, staying with the Lord. Because you have taken the Lord's name, keep my commandments and do what? Live. And my law you are to keep as the apple of your own very eye. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's promises is there. God's will to do these great things are there. But it's also telling us to look at ourselves. If you treasure this eye, then take this eye and put the law of God there. Treasure it and take that law of God as the apple of your own very eye, even as the Lord God has taken you as the apple of his own very eye. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The laws of God, to fear God, to walk in righteousness, to stay with the Lord and not run away from under the shadow of his protection. To do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. That is the apple of the eye for you. Brethren, I want to encourage us this morning as we round up that the Lord God is merciful and good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are benefits we have in Jesus Christ, even as we stay as the apple of God's eye. The praise team can start coming up. We can stand on our feet as we round up here. I encourage each one of us to remember in the hour of our trials, I encourage each one of us to hold on to God's words. In time that the enemy wants to tell you that Jesus Christ does not love you, I want each one of us to remember that God's promise in Hosea chapter 2 verse 8, that whoever touches you touches the apple of God's eye. That these four areas we're able to bring out this morning, one is the ability of God to protect and to shield. Just like a human being will protect and shield their eyes if there's any foreign situation coming against it. That the same love is extended to God by love. As long as you remain the apple of God's eye, you are under the love of Christ. And that the eyes of the Lord also sees and acknowledges you and knows what you are going through. Do not think that his eyes is moved away from you. His eyes is upon you always and will never fail or neither forsake or leave you in Jesus' name. And lastly, that as long as his eyes is upon you and you keep under him, you will remember under the shadow of the Most High God. And every promise, every word of promise in Psalm 91 belongs to you. For the eyes of the Lord goes to and fro in the face of the whole earth to deliver, to save, even those that put their trust in the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. Let us pray. Father, we pray for everyone that is here this morning. We pray, Father, for anyone who is going through a time of trial. And they may question this promise that whoever touches you touches the apple of my eyes. Whether there be spiritual enemies or physical ones, we commit such ones into your hand. Moreover, we pray for anybody who has not come to know you, that this opportunity they will come to the knowledge of Christ so that they can become part of us, a chosen generation, A peculiar people. People are appointed for a special purpose, to God's glory and to his honor. Lord, we thank you for every one of your children that is fighting this battle. Remember, O Lord, even as David prayed, keep me as the apple of thy eyes, that I may remain under the shadow of the Most High God. Let us remain under thy shadow always in Jesus' mighty name. Father, there are a lot of things we are going through as your children. It is part of our faith journey. But we ask that you intervene and help each one of us, Lord, as we cry and reach out to you, even at this hour, in Jesus' mighty name. Receive all the glory, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all.